our message entitled Knowing God as His Child, taken from Job chapter 26, verses 1 to 14. We have reached at the end of chapter 25, the last big effort of his friend Bildad to discredit this man of God. Bildad spoke of God as light and Job as a man filled with darkness as a result of his sin. And therefore, his end is his suffering. Look at all that has befallen him. But the argument of his friends, in particular Bildad, were framed in time, in the sense that it was framed just at a point in time where it was not justifiable for them to say what they ought to say. Because at the end of chapter 41, when we begin 42, when God restored Job, you would see how Job regained his health, he regained his wealth, he regained what he has lost. The Lord restored him. But his friends, they would jump to a conclusion at a juncture where they could not fully understand, and therefore they were speaking out of terms. And so, in response, Job is no longer merely answering Bildad, as William MacDonald would rightly says. He's addressing all. He's getting many things off his burden, off his chest, off him. There were many injustice, unjustifiable words that were being said, and Job had to defend his integrity, his honesty, his righteousness before God. You say, what righteousness have we before God? We are sinful in the sight of God. But for a man who is justified of God, well, he's able to say, my sins have been forgiven me. And this is the man Job. He refused to admit that his critics were right in accusing him that his suffering were a result of his secret sin. As we review the book of Job, what do you think, dear friends, is the theme of this book? We are now at 26 chapters, more than half. We possibly have an idea of what the Lord is conveying to us. Well, as you look at it, it is not about God trying to prove Satan wrong, because you see here that Satan was mentioned just in the first 1.5 chapters, and then he is not mentioned again in the book. What really is the theme? Well, dear friends, the theme of this book is about the man Job and his faith. That Job had genuine faith in God, and that faith that he had in God was not dependent upon his circumstances. Whatever that happens to him, or whatever that happens to us, whether it's the happy things, the promotions, the accolades, the things that, the encouragements that one may receive, well, are all these things that which make up our life before God, our happiness, Well, for Job, he didn't have all these things. And when you do not have all these things before you, when you have lost all these things that the world would, by his standards, would say that this is a man that is happy. Well, what is it? As you look at the life of Job and what befell him, you would see that there's something real that is in him, something genuine that is in him. The jewel, the true jewel of the thing that was in him is called faith. He had faith, faith in God, genuine faith. What the book of Hebrews called the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 verse 1. You recall when we had the series of messages, Faith of Our Fathers, in Hebrews 11. We began that series by quoting the reformer John Calvin, who defined biblical faith. He said, faith is superior to human intelligence. It comes by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Faith, therefore, is a singular gift of God in two respects, both as the mind is enlightened to understand the truth of God and as the heart is established in it. When you have faith, the faith that God gives to us, it enables us to understand the spiritual things. Our mind is enlightened to understand the truth of God, to understand about God, the things of God, and to establish our heart in it. In other words, we are able not only to understand, but we are able to apply it to our hearts. For the Holy Spirit not only originates faith, Calvin writes rightly, but increases it by degree till he conducts us by it all the way to the heavenly kingdom. And the late Dr. Carl McIntyre, he gave a very good background of Hebrews 11 when he said this: the severe trials of the Christian in the first century led to the writing of that portion of the Bible called the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Affliction, reproaches, and imprisonment had come upon those who had named the despised name, Jesus Christ. In rapid fulfillment of his words, they shall put you out of the synagogues. These people had been hounded from their places of meeting and all their earthly goods spoiled. To encourage and comfort such a people, the servant of Christ, the author of Hebrews, reminded them that it was but a little while, and he shall come forth. He that shall come will come, and not tarry. But now, while they wait for his glorious return, they must live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This is the life of Job. And it's interesting. Here, the man of faith, well, this phrase, the just shall live by faith, was quoted by the prophet Habakkuk. And it is written three times in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. Dr. Carl McIntyre observed well. He says that the word just was the emphasis. Those who, because of their faith, declared by God to be just in his sight. And in the book of Galatians, the emphasis was upon the faith, the word faith, as the Apostle Paul detailed the faith that is the same as the children of Abraham. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But in the book of Hebrews, the emphasis was the word live, the practical part of it, that these men suffered earthly losses in different circumstances, in succeeding periods of the history of the human race, did live and triumph through faith. And their faith is given in short, succinct statements. And he applied Dr. Carl McIntyre when he said, "Today, men need faith." When we study the book of Job, it is to teach us the lesson of faith. That faith in God is not dependent upon our outward circumstances. Unbelief, indifference, apostasy have come in like a flood and threatened to sweep all before them. Men of faith, he says, like gold coins, have been taken out of circulation. Dear friends, this is a time where men of faith must arise. Precious privileges for which our fathers fought for centuries are surrendered in an hour with no resistance. Faith is seldom defined, defensed, or illustrated, as it were, today in the pulpit. It has gone with the wind. But that is what remains in the man Job. And this is what we would like all of us to see, that he had faith in God as he go through these inscrutable circumstances in his life. Although Job began with certain thoughts about God, not knowing what is going on, what God is doing, but he never cursed God to his face. What did Job's wife suggest? Curse God and die, just like Satan thought he would. Well, as you look at Job, you see that Job is someone who represents us in the Bible, in the sense that we all have a potential for evil, or under God's influence, to bear the fruit of righteousness. Job was under trial to bear the fruit of righteousness. It is only as we go through the furnace of testing that we are refined in our lives. Dear friends, are you going through some testing in your life? Well, if you are, it's a test of faith. May you not give up hope. May you cling on to the Lord. And so the first thought that we have is this, that Job would affirm his faith. And if you look at your notes that we have, that I have sent to you, you would notice here in the beginning of our notes, the outline from chapters 26 to 31. From chapters 26 to 31. His final defense, Job's final defense, how he would affirm his faith in God in chapter 26 and 27, and how he would appeal only to God. He knew who his God is, and he says his friends are poor counselors, and he resorted to God. And he realized that he was a man who sought wisdom only from God. He affirms that true wisdom comes from God. And man, by his own strength, by his own diligence, cannot find God. True wisdom comes from God alone. And we need to meet with God. And this was a man, Job, who met with God. And he testified in Job chapter 29 concerning the time of his prosperity, how he was respected and honored. He was a helper of the poor and the fatherless. He was a helper to the widow, a helper to the blind and the lame, a father to the poor, frustrating the wicked, trusted and honored among men. And in chapter 30, his present calamity, how it was contrasted. He was now socially disrespected, he's scorned, he's abhorred, in physical pain. It's as if he's abandoned spiritually, opposed socially, and exhausted emotionally and physically. Well, as you look at Job and his life, you would see a man hankering or seeking to, in the midst of his trial, to cling on to faith, cling on to his God, knowing in his heart that God will not forsake him, God will not leave him, that God is with him all the way. And he began in this chapter, in the first four verses, to, well, in a sense, rebut his friend Bildad. Bildad has taught himself an eloquent counselor, but he was not. And Job rightly says to him in verse 3, "How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is?" What he had said was false, mistaken, and outright confusing. Job maintains his integrity before his friends when he made his reply. So he rightly asks his friends. He says to them, "What help have you rendered to the weak? How have you saved the arm that was without strength? What counsel have you given to one without wisdom? To whom are your words directed? Whose spirit is expressed to you, through you? Who are you representing? You're representing yourself? Indeed, you are representing yourself. You are not representing the living God whom you profess to represent." And we contrast the words of Bildad to God's word when it is rightly applied. You recall when about 2 years ago we were studying the book of Proverbs, two and a half, 3 years ago we were studying the book of Proverbs, and how valuable was that study. That the book of Proverbs teaches us the life of godliness. How it was a book of for all seasons. The truth that we can distill from it for life. And whoever we are, whatever vocation we are called, we know that we are Christians first. Before we are a student, we are a teacher, we may be a retiree, maybe a nurse, a doctor, an accountant, a father, a son, a daughter. The book of Proverbs throughout teaches how we can obtain a right relationship with God as a basic principle in life. Job's friends did not have these basic principles well grounded, therefore they were unable to provide a proper counsel. Dear friends, counseling comes through the Word of God, properly applied when the Spirit of God teaches us how to rightly divide the Word of truth, and the Spirit of God teaches us how we may apply it to our lives. Job's friends did not have the right relationship nor the right understanding of God to help his friend. And how we are rebuked. How we are rebuked for not knowing God's word, and yet wanting to be a counselor. We need God's ready wisdom at any time to choose the way of safety and blessing, and to avoid the way of danger and the receiving of cursing. And the Lord seeks that we would imbibe His wisdom and be a practitioner of the will of God, in season, out of season. And dear friends, we all start off with little experience and knowledge. Then we grow in our understanding and experience. But we must be constantly reading, taking time to draw near to God in the meditation of His Word. You know, we said that we are in this period of time where we may not be so physically mobile, but we can be mentally active, searching the Scriptures, taking the time to meditate upon the Word of God, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we use our time wisely? Well, Job's friends, though many of them old and seem to be very wise, but they were not. It seemed they have not been studying their Scriptures. They have not been taking time to know the will of God. And therefore their words were not comforting words, were not words of wisdom, words of piety, words of faith that would bring encouragement and strength of faith to the people of God. That is what Job is saying from verse 1 to 4 to his friends. The Lord seeks that we would know His laws well, so that we may conduct our lives according to what how he would want us to live. And here in this text, Job speaks in this chapter to Bildad. Job is sad that his friends have not strengthened his faith in God by their presence with him, but have tormented him and accused him. How sad it is. Imagine going for a vigil service, going to visit someone in the hospital, and doing just the opposite. Well, Job knows his God well, and he will extol his God before his friends from verse 5 to verse 14. He understands who his Creator God is, and God's greatness. And so he says here how it's shown here how Job gave a right portrayal of who God is. He said very well, and describing, explaining by what Swindle rightly says, a cosmological explanation about God, about His greatness, about His infinite and incomprehensible aspect, that He does not reveal the answers or reasons for what He does. Dear friends, can we accept that we don't know? And that God will not reveal to us, and we are willing to not know and trust God through the circumstances that we go through in life, that God will not do us harm? Well, only when we have a right theology, right understanding of who we are before God. We have sung how good is the God we adore. How He is that unchangeable friend of ours. Right? How our God loves us so much, and His love is as great as His power. And though we do not know, well, we cannot comprehend and measure His greatness, we know that He is our shepherd and that He is our guide, and that we can trust Him to lead us daily and all the way to our heavenly home. And that we will not be lost following Him. And indeed, this is what Job is saying to his friend, that God is in control, God is in charge, God knows all that is going on. And Job's rendition of God here in our text in verses 5 to 14 is like the psalmist David in his understanding of who God is, that is described in Psalm 8 when he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And out of the mouth of sucklings and babes thou hast ordained strength. Because of thy enemies, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast crowned, made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What was Job saying here to his friends? He says that God is so great that He's able to stretch out in His creation the universe. How it the universe is stretched out by the mighty word of God. How vast, how great it is, and how the earth hangs upon nothing. How does Job know so well about the cosmos? Well, God revealed it to him. And he understood what a great God we serve, and how God has that power to contain the clouds so that the vapors that it contains doesn't just explode out of it. And how the Lord seemed to hide himself in the brightness of the night moon, and how amazing it is that he's a God who sends his rebuke, his reproof. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. Recently we are studying in our devotions the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 9, chapter 8 and chapter 9. How the Lord in the great tribulation time would send great judgment. How he would cause a third of the earth's oceans. He would smite the ocean, a third of it. And all the physical sources of water, a third of it, the rivers, the fountains, were smitten, poisoned. That men may wake up and know that all these good things that we have comes from our Creator God. Not to take for granted even the air that we breathe. You know, at this time you notice that ventilators are very important machine to preserve life. Indeed, the air that we have, that we being able to breathe, do we thank God for what He has given us? This is what Job is saying to us. Can we understand who our God is? Verse 12, he says, He divideth the sea with His power, and by His understanding He smiteth the proud. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He was the greatest monarch upon earth. The golden head in the statue that Daniel saw in his dream. And how, because of his pride, he thought himself the maker of his vast kingdom. And how the Lord smote him and he became as an animal, lived 7 years. Feeding on the grass like an animal until he came to his senses and he realized that it is the God of heaven who has given me life, that this vast empire was from him, that God restored him. By his understanding he smiteth through the proud. How he smite Nebuchadnezzar, and how the man was abased and humbled before God. By his spirit he hath garnered the heavens, verse 13, and his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. How the Lord shows us through his word how powerful he is, how his hand has the power to smite the serpent as it runs away. How swift the serpent is and how powerful God is to overcome even the serpent in all its speed. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Well, he's saying that we have a God who is so great, so powerful, that he's in charge of all things, that all things by him consist, and all things are for his glory. By him, through him, for him. Dear friends, this is what the Lord wants us to understand. And this is what Job understood. That he has been preciously, or he has been gloriously saved, and how he was so precious to God. He knew his Redeemer, and he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth and will stand in the latter days. His sins has been forgiven, and he understood, he looked forward to the Messiah to come that will take away his sin, that will give unto him righteousness. We know of the song, I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I trust the God of miracles. Give to Him my all. Dear friends, this is the life of Job. He understood who God is. And God gave this man faith. Faith to believe. A genuine faith that is not dependent upon circumstances. Not just the happy days that he's happy within him, contented within him, but even the days of his affliction, even though he may not understand. The Lord gives him a quiet spirit to trust him. May the Lord's peace and joy abides with his people. As we may be going through some suffering, some trials, may the Lord strengthen your heart. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in guiding us and showing us the faith of this man of God, Job. Lord, strengthen our faith in Thee. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.